You've just seen some pictures of McIntosh. Now I'd like to show you McIntosh in person. All of the images you are about to see on the large screen will be generated by what's in that bag.
Hello, I am McIntosh. It sure is great to get out of that bag.
Let's go.
All right.
Ready to rock and rizzle. Shirt's coming off. Headband's going on.
Yeah.
Here we go. Hello, and welcome to the Gullcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Airfront Elijah, joining me today. The nudist colony kicked him out because he was always wearing a sweater. Buster Kine is here.
Hey, man. I can't take it off.
Why did you take the sweater off, dude?
I can't, okay?
It's just perma sweater?
It's attached to the body.
Oh. Oh.
It's weird. It's like I was fun with it.
I can't believe they kicked you out for that. That's so rude. Yes. So rude. Also joining us, after a long day at the office, he comes home and he slips into something more comfortable, often a big gown and a powdered wig. Leander Caney is here.
Leander? Oh, hey, guys.
Oh, hi.
It's Leander Caney. Mate.
Oh, F-bomb. I hate everything that we're going to talk about, including all movies.
It's all rubbish.
Leander Caney's not here. He said he was going to be here, but we knew better, didn't we?
He's off having tea and crumpets in Italy.
Do they serve those in Italy? I don't know.
I think it's like an espresso and
it's
that bread they do with the cheese and the meats on it. You know what I'm talking about?
Prosciutto. Oh, yeah. Prosciutto. Yeah, that's where he is. He's wearing like a nice beret striped shirt. Leander Caney is, I'm not sure why he's wearing like stereotypical French clothes. Yeah. Yeah. He's very confused roaming through Italy. Leander Caney said he was going to join us, but we knew better. He is in Italy with his family. And funny enough, at the end of last episode, I think I was asking him what his plans were. And he was like, oh, I'm leaving for Europe this next week. And I was like, what? Good to know. Good to know you're going to be in Europe. And he's like, oh, but don't worry. I'll still be on the show.
I've planned it out. I got the time changes in my head memorized.
Leander can't even remember when we do the show when he's here.
Yeah.
And now he's probably 8 or 9 hours ahead with his family. They're probably, I don't even know. Do you know where they actually went?
I know they were, oh God, what's that? Amalfi Coast? Is that
what
it
was? He's in the Amalfi Coast.
And then they went to, yeah, they were on the Amalfi Coast. It just looked gorgeous. I've never been there.
But oh, I have. My gosh. Amalfi Coast. I've actually been all over Italy. And the Amalfi Coast is one of the most beautiful places I've probably been in Europe. Huge, huge mosquitoes that practically drain me dry. Super gorgeous place. And so I knew. I know what it's like when you're traveling and you're going to hotels and I don't know if
you're going to have a good connection.
Yeah, dude, you have no idea. Plus, his wife,
you don't
Tracy,
know what you're going to be doing.
Yeah, exactly.
She has an itinerary. I'm like super jealous of their trips because she has everything like planned. We're going to be here for 5 hours. Then we're going to go
to this beach,
to this museum. And, you know, she makes it a cultural experience for their kids.
Yeah, exactly. Like his wife, they go on these huge trips every summer. I'm surprised that he went late this year. His family actually went without him and he was joining them. But she has the entire trip planned. And so all he does is just show up and he has like a full on vacation and it's all planned out for him. In any case, he might show up in any moment, but I doubt it. That's okay because I actually really enjoy this mano-a-mano time we have together, Buster.
We're going to lose all our sponsors, I feel like.
We probably will lose all our sponsors once they hear the absolute drivel we'll be spewing on this episode. But we Slow News Week, full disclosure. But you know what I like about Slow News Weeks is it allows us to do what we did last week, where we could farm our beautiful, attractive, intelligent audience for questions that we should talk about. So this week we're going to be doing an all-new Get to Know Your Cultist, where we got a bunch of great questions from our listeners on our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheCultCast. And so we'll be doing those towards the end of the show. But believe it or not, we do actually have some slow news items or some news items to talk about this week. It is a slow week. I mean, summertime is the worst for Apple News.
Yeah, I mean, until like right up until the new iPhones come out, it'll kind of just be. I feel like everybody's just off in Italy and on vacation and stuff.
Dude,
I guess,
all of Italy is off. All of Italy is off. In fact, a lot of Europe just takes the entire like summer off. They take like a month off. And when you're in Italy, at least when I was there, they don't mess around over there. They know how to do vacation. You go somewhere and in the middle of the day, nothing's open. Absolutely everything closes. And they take like 2 or 3 hours to just have lunch. Huh. That's the way we need to do it here.
Yes. Sounds like the life.
Yeah. Like I remember when I went there and we were starving and we were looking for something to eat and you literally cannot get anything to eat because everything's closed. So instead, we took a nap in the park and I used my sandal as a pillow.
As food?
As food. And when that didn't work. No, I've been walking in the sandal for like 2 months. That wouldn't have tasted very good.
Tasty. Very just well all seasoned. Juicy and sweaty.
So I just used it as a pillow like it was a freaking like SNL sketch or something. It was terrible. You know, you go on these long trips in Europe. And you just get so tired. When I've been there for like 6 weeks. I've been there for 9 weeks. And it's not a vacation at that point. It's an adventure. And lots of things happen that things just go wrong. You end up missing trains and so on and so forth. And you end up sleeping places that you didn't expect or not sleeping at all. And you're just exhausted some days. And I remember one night we were in a train station and this Italian guy who spoke no English sat there and talked to me in Italian for like 3 hours. We were waiting for our train and we must have missed it and it didn't come. And he just sat there talking to me in Italian. And I tried to make it clear to him that I only spoke English. And he wouldn't stop. So he kept me up all night. And the next day I probably ended up using my sandal as a pillow somewhere to sleep. All right. Well, let's talk about some Apple news. Oh, before we do, I should say thank you to HipChat for supporting this episode. Buster, how much would you say HipChat has changed Culta Mac?
Oh, incredibly. It just makes it so easy to communicate.
That's because if you're doing email every day to run your business and to deal with people that you need to talk to every day, if you're trapped in your inbox every day, if you're spending too much time on email, if you're getting dragged into meetings where nothing ever gets done, there is a way to make it through your workday and not waste so much time. That is HipChat. HipChat is the game-changing team communication app that helps all teams work together more effectively. And it just makes it so much easier to work with a remote team. You can get the information you need faster from people because you're constantly just pinging them in short little bite-sized texts. You know, like you're in a chat room. You're not waiting for an email for them to get back to you. You can make decisions faster with group chat because you guys can all enter one big group chat, chat together, do video chat, do desktop sharing. HipChat supports 75 different file types. And they have applications for every single device. So Windows Phone, iPhones, Android phones, your Mac, of course, your PC. And so you're constantly able to just share files back and forth. It just helps you stay connected with your team, get things done faster, and it's a great solution for remote work. That's why so many different organizations use HipChat and are more productive doing so. You can get HipChat Plus free for 90 days when you sign up at hipchat.com/cultofmac. You'll get premium features like unlimited storage, unlimited message history, and guaranteed support free for 90 days. That's hipchat.com/cultofmac. Thank you to HipChat for supporting this episode. So Buster, I was looking over Cultofmac and I saw an article that you wrote and you were talking about probably one of my most requested features for the next iPhone, but I don't think we're going to get it for the next iPhone. Care to
Sapphire display?
Yes. Sapphire. I take that back. Sapphire display number one. And then number two would be wireless charging.
Yeah.
Dude, how awesome would it be to not ever have to plug in your iPhone?
Oh, I know, right? And yeah, say goodbye. You won't have to manage all your cables and stuff. I didn't know that the thing that has been holding back wireless charging from the iPhone is that you can't wirelessly charge any phone that's like has a metal body.
Because, I didn't know that either.
Because of the way they do that. Yeah. So that apparently has been what's one of the things that's holding Apple back from doing it. But Qualcomm, they invented a way or engineered a way so that metal exteriors are no longer a problem for wireless charging.
So was the problem that when they use like this like induction charging, it actually heats up the metal of the phone itself?
Right.
Which, and so it gets super red hot? So right. When you go to grab it, you have an Apple insignia emblazoned into your palm. That actually sounds awesome.
It melts the chips inside too in the process or something.
Oh, so it breaks your phone. Okay.
It probably is not good for it.
I'm not on board for that second part. I wouldn't mind being branded with an Apple brand, though.
Right. I don't know if this is like truly wireless charging. You know, there's some wireless batteries where they don't actually even have to be on a pad, mm-hmm. and they can just be wirelessly charged through. I don't even know how they do it. It's just crazy technology. Or there's like the Samsung way, where they have like the wireless charging pad that you just drop it on. And that seems to be a lot more prevalent.
Oh, okay. So that makes a lot more sense. So with inductive charging, this is just like inductive cooking. They have inductive cooking where you can put pots and the electrical current heats up the pot itself. Instead of just heating up like these elements that, you know, are beneath the pot. And so, yeah, it makes sense. If it was metal, it might heat up the phone. And so you'd have to have it like actually touching a pad. But Qualcomm's new Y-Power is based on near-field magnetic resonance technology. Well, that's a mouthful. And aside from allowing charging of multiple devices with different power requirements, this could be cool. You could do like a phone and an iPad at the same time, theoretically. You may not actually have to place it down on a pad. You might be able to have it just near the charging station.
Right, but I'm not. I wouldn't quote me on that because...
Understand the technology.
Yeah, plus you're just kind of stupid when it comes to that. No, but that I think is like where wireless charging and stuff is going in the future, to where you don't even have to go connect it to a pad, which will be
Have it be nearby. Mm-hmm. I am a little leery of adding more radio waves. These aren't radio waves, but more like radio wave type waves, magnetic waves, into the atmosphere around
into your life. Yeah.
I mean, like keeping my phone in my pocket near the gonads, you know.
I sleep with my phone near my pocket? Face every night.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Do you keep it under your pillow?
Sometimes, yeah. It just matters
I'm sorry, could you remind me why you do that again? You just fall asleep with it in your hand or something?
Oh, because you're using your phone in bed and stuff, and then you're like, all right, time to go to bed, turn over. I don't like bother to get up and go put it in the charger. No way.
You just go to sleep with it under your pillow?
Yeah.
See, when I go into the bedroom, I switch to the iPad.
And then do you?
Read on that, before I go to bed.
That's what my wife does, and then she'll set it up on the bed, like with the smart cover, and then I'll wake up 3 hours later and see that she's fallen asleep with like reading a book on her iPad.
Wow, that's actually impressive, because I feel like reading on the iPad at night keeps me awake. I'll be dead tired, and then I'll go back and open up my iPad and start reading Reddit, and it will be 2 hours later, and I'm like wide awake now all of a sudden. I swear that blue light from the iPad, it probably keeps you awake. In fact, I've read that you should never actually read an iPad or an iPhone or anything like that in bed, because it does. Like that blue illumination, for whatever reason, wakes you up and just keeps you awake. And then you're just back in your bedroom partying all night till like 4 a.m. just reading Reddit. Like,
it's not so bad.
You're getting to the parts of Reddit that no one should ever read.
Yeah. You're like, oh, I didn't know that subreddit.
What? That's a subreddit? How did the law allow this to exist? I can't believe it's here. Speaking about technology that may not be good for you. So we've talked about this a little bit before, and this story has resurfaced. So Woz and some other big thinkers like Elon Musk, Stephen Hawking, are worried about AI robotics taking over. And I say this jokingly, but also kind of seriously, and becoming Skynet, which I think is ludicrous. But according to them, they say the technology to build autonomous weapons and select and engage targets without human intervention. Tell me that doesn't sound like a bad idea. Who thinks that's a good idea? Engage targets without human intervention. They think this is a feasible technology in the next few years, and we need to ban it now. So they posted an open letter to this, posted on Future of Life, which I guess is a website, warning that pursuing AI weapons like armed quadcopters and the like, and eliminating people from the process of actually, I guess, killing others, will lead to a third revolution in warfare and an all-new arms race. and would be a totally bad idea. I can't believe there's anyone out there that would not think this would be a bad idea. Are you with me here?
I think I saw on Gizmodo the other day, today though, what they had like a whole article on why it's actually a good idea.
What? How could this possibly be a good idea? Well, do you remember any of their arguments?
Well, the main argument is that, if war was automated, it would take out the human casualties. And I think in their open letter, Woz and Elon Musk and all of them state that that would be a bad thing as well, because, you know, if killer robots would be a lot cheaper to make than nuclear weapons. Mm-hmm. So the barrier to entry in warfare would just be so low.
Okay, but hold on. Okay, so I have heard some people make that same argument. But here's the problem. Only major, major, huge countries could afford to have an autonomous, you know, AI-driven army. Like the United States, probably some countries in Europe, China,
Russia.
Maybe Russia, although their robots would probably short circuit and start, you know, running into each other.
It's not that I don't think it would be that expensive to make. There was a video on the internet, I think like last week, of some guy who strapped a gun to a quadricopter and was firing it. And then, you know, once you just get some really like small package weapons onto a quadricopter plus a camera and an algorithm that can, you know, scan people's faces.
Here's, if to people see are dressed like terrorists. This, you can go ahead and shoot them. Here, if they're wearing these specific garments, then you can go ahead and just blow them away. That seems like a bad idea to me.
It does seem like a bad idea. Yeah.
We could have them working at the airports. I mean, look how happy people are with racial profiling already. It's such a huge success story. They could just implement these things all over the United States and get rid of police forces and just have, you know, robotic drones. Robotic drones are kind of scary. And it's fun when you see them like doing like neat tricks at like CES and stuff. But I was watching this TED Talk and they had programmed this big group of drones to be intelligent and to do things in parallel. So they would be flying in swarms. And one guy would like take one like out of the sky and throw it, and it would, you know, like rebalance itself and start flying again. These things are getting more and more intelligent, and it's actually kind of creepy when you see what they can do now, because they do behave in such a lifelike way. Yeah. I mean, I can only imagine strapping on a freaking M16 to one of these things and seeing it fly around. But
take that the quadricopter into the theater or something. It's I don't know. I think it's not too far enough away where you could have some crazy people doing some weird,
bad
stuff with it. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, people are already hacking cars to gain control of cars, and those things don't have military grade weapons on them. I wonder if they're including Apple in their OS development. What would they call that one? It'd be like OS 10 Baghdad or something.
Benghazi.
OS 10.
Or Benghazi.
Yeah, some war name. They're going to have to start coming up with different like war places. Oh, gosh. Yeah, I'm with Woz on this. I think this is a bad idea. But can I also bring up the fact or raise the question, why are people always asking Steve Wozniak about these kinds of things? Like, why is Steve Wozniak all of a sudden the expert on autonomous military weapons?
I don't know. It's like, I don't know. Anytime Woz gets asked the question, it's always in the news, right? That's probably our fault as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I love hearing Woz talk about things. And Lord knows he loves to talk.
Yeah.
So maybe he just likes to give his opinion on all these different things. But I'm like, is he even involved? I could be totally off base here. Full disclosure. Maybe he is involved in all sorts of like high tech military operations that I don't know about. I know he does technical consulting and stuff still, but it seems weird to be asking Woz about this stuff because he doesn't really seem to be that active in the technology community these days. Am I wrong?
He hasn't been relevant since the 80s.
I mean, he does have a Segway with lots of like machine guns and stuff attached to it.
Oh, yeah. Imagine that. That would be beautiful, seeing Woz cruising down the street, or in like a Paul Blart type of like movie where he's a superhero.
Oh, yeah, man. I haven't seen that movie. I'm a little sad that you have.
Dude, sorry.
All right, well, moving on to some other technology you may or may not see. We've talked about the 6C before. We know that it's coming out in the next several months, along with all the other updated iPhones. I always kind of find the 6S and the 6C to be somewhat lackluster updates, but I know some people are excited to upgrade from their previous version of the iPhone 5S or something. So here's a little rumor for you. I want to hear what you think about this. There have been rumors that we're going to see a 4-inch sized iPhone 6C. So they'll keep the same form factor, that same small form factor as they've had before. And there was a report that came out recently that said Apple has actually ditched those plans because the iPhone 6 and the 6 Plus have been selling so well. They're like, why would we sell a smaller version of the iPhone? But, you know, some people really love that small version of the iPhone, like mm-hmm. Alex Excelsior Heath, because he has such small,
dainty, girly hands
that, you know, he has to have something small that he can hold to his ear. Do you think we're going to have something? Do you think we'll have a 4-inch sized iPhone 6C, or are they just going to ditch those entirely?
Yeah, I don't know. I never really bought into the idea that Apple was working on a 6C. I don't know. Why do they need to? Why do they need a 4-inch phone?
Well, I think that they were probably thinking some people actually still like them, so they didn't want to, you know, not have something to sell to those people. And
but
some
they
people
don't even
want
sell
like a large. What?
I don't think they sell a 4-inch phone currently, though, at all. Do they sell the 5C still?
I thought they did.
Oh, let me look on Apple.
Yeah,
well,
now we gotta look on Apple.com. I thought they still sold a 4-inch phone.
Oh, they do sell the 5C still, I guess.
Okay. So once we leave the 5C, it's going to go to the 6C. And some people don't want a big phone, but Apple is making so much money. They're having like a boon in iPhone sales. People love these big iPhones.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine they're going to start making a smaller one again, even if there's some people out there that do want them. I think they're going to go to the current size 6 is going to be the 6C.
El Cheapo. Yeah. Yeah, and I could see that, like a cheaper 6, like with the plastic casing, I guess.
Well, yeah, I mean, what else would they put in there? I mean, I guess they could leave the 5 guts in there, but that doesn't make any sense at all.
The 5S guts?
The 5S guts in there, yeah.
But, I mean, I think that size, I just, who wants the 4-inch phone anymore? I don't think anybody does.
Alex E. Heath, he's the only one. He's the only one. I think the 6 is actually the perfect size.
I do too. I think the 5 Plus, I think next time I would actually get a 6.
You mean over a 6 Plus?
Yeah.
So for us to be the 7 as opposed to the 7 Plus.
Right.
Yeah, I love my 6 Plus, but do you ever find yourself just wishing you had a smaller phone?
Sometimes, only when it's like I have to like contort my hand in weird ways when I'm walking down the street to use my 6 Plus one-handed, you know?
Yeah.
It's impossible.
I hate carrying it in my pockets. I seriously would rather carry on a man purse with this thing in it. In fact, I should buy one or fashion one on myself.
Yeah.
My excellent sewing skills.
Or you need to bring back the fanny pack.
Dude, bring it back. It's back, bruh. Have you been to not wearing those down in Phoenix or in Mesa?
Not in Phoenix. I saw them all over Disneyland. I didn't know if it was just nerdy tourists doing their thing.
No. Unless those tourists are coming from Seattle. Portland's even worse. Portland is even worse. I'm seeing fanny packs everywhere now. And I'll be honest, they're kind of starting to grow on me.
iPhone 6s and fanny packs.
Yeah, iPhone 6s and fanny packs, man. Those people in Portland with their fanny packs. What about, let's talk about some iPad news. I heard that the iPads this year might actually get more updates than we were counting on. And I'm curious to hear if you think there's any validity to these rumors. So according to a new report from IDC, let me preface the story with this. The iPad is still leading the pack, but tablet sales are down over 17% this year. Mm-hmm. So surprisingly, I was actually surprised to hear this. iPads and tablets in general are just not selling as well as they used to. Okay. Now, the rumor is instead of a glorified iPad Mini 2 like we got last year, the iPad Mini 4 is going to be a miniature version of the iPad Air 2. So that means 8 megapixel rear EyeSight camera, anti-reflective coating, the fully laminated display, which hopefully has the same kind of like color accuracy and saturation as the current iPad Airs, and 6.1 millimeters of thickness. Now, the report also suggests that we'll get not just two iPad updates this year, but three. So an all-new iPad Mini 4, the iPad Air 3, and an all-new iPad Pro. What do you think about this, Buster? Because they're, I mean,
three iPads.
So three iPads.
Apple's going deep.
they're freaking it's like driving a, way deep. So
they're
deep.
Like, dang, we better. I would buy it. I mean, I buy that. You know that they're planning for three. Although some people think they might just kill the iPad Mini because the 6 Plus eats into its market share and sales a lot.
Yeah.
I think they definitely need an iPad Pro or just a more serious work-oriented iPad. Because like you said, it seems more just like a casual device. Mm-hmm. Not real. I know there are some people that do real work on it, but I think it would be... it would do better in enterprise if it had a bigger screen, if you could do some crazy stuff with it. And iOS 9 does some of that. So I think the iPad Pro for sure, the iPad Air 3 for sure. I'm not so sure on the iPad Mini 2.
You think they might axe it?
I could see them just axing it, but maybe it will be the last nice update for the iPad Mini.
Oh, so you think it's on its way out?
I don't know. Maybe not entirely, but they definitely, I think, won't emphasize it as much as the Air and the Pro.
Oh, probably not. I mean, it's always kind of been... Yeah. They don't really give it that much attention. They certainly didn't last year. I love the iPad Mini. I think it's the perfect size if you want something just to read on. It's a great size for that, and it's so portable and so light. And it's interesting that tablet sales have kind of been dropping, because maybe Apple does need to do something to bolster sales and get people excited about tablets again. And maybe the iPad Pro could do that, although I still don't necessarily see a big demand for an iPad Pro. I certainly know there's people out there who would be like, oh, I would love to have, you know, an iPad that supports some, you know, really awesome stylus, have a keyboard. I mean, you can add all these accessories to the normal iPad, so I guess just having a larger screen to work would be a big selling feature for pro users, but I still don't really understand or see a big demand for a big iPad. I mean, how big is the enterprise market? I guess we don't know that. And I'm sure I wonder.
You and I don't know that, but somebody knows that.
Tim Cook knows that.
But I think, I don't know. I would love to replace my MacBook full time with an iPad, but I don't think that's possible.
What would they need to include in order for you to do that?
At least an 11-inch display.
Okay.
Because you can't, even with like the current iPad Air and iOS 9, you can, you know, do the two windows side by side. It's still just not enough room. I feel like it's still just so crowded on that little screen that you need more space.
I was just thinking to myself, what would I need? I'm like, okay, well, it would definitely need to have mouse support, right? So you need to be able to use a Bluetooth mouse and actually have a cursor. Keyboard support, which it already has. And then some way to prop itself up. And I'm like, okay, well, here I am. I'm describing the surface.
The surface, yeah.
And then that would actually be, with Apple software, I think that would actually be pretty cool. And then, yeah, I mean, to have a really lightweight computer that is basically the size of an iPad that you could just tote around with you and use as a tablet. Like, you would have to have a full-on iPad mode, I think, where you could just use it as an iPad. Uh-huh. And then if you wanted to, like, you know, use a mouse, then it allowed you to interact with the mouse as well. So they would kind of need to build on that whole, like, mouse functionality.
I don't know. Why do you need a mouse, though?
Because I don't want to be constantly reaching up to the screen
all day?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I remember Steve Jobs said a long time ago, they had tested upright displays, and people didn't like them because their arms got tired. Right. And even though my arms are, like, insanely svelte and super muscular...
Did you see that real life image that Erfan tweeted of us preparing for it?
Yeah, that was a behind the scenes video clip.
Your arms are just looking huge.
Dude, you're looking tan, my friend. You're looking.
She's been on to me about the sunscreen lately.
Yeah, your tan lines are probably just insane. That's all I gotta say. Yeah, man. Oh, but you look good. Thanks. That white polo you're wearing was just perfect. Yeah. I mean, even with my muscular arms, I mean, after hours and hours of holding them upright, I get tired. But I'm more concerned with the common man and woman are not quite as in shape as I am and don't want to just constantly have their arms up in the air. So I guess that would be why you would need to have a mouse, is because you don't constantly want to be reaching up and touching your screen. So they would need to build all that stuff in for me. And then I actually think that would be pretty cool. That would be something I would be interested in. And then, of course, it'd have to have a Retina display and, you know, all the goodies that we have come to know and love in the iPad Air, and I guess also now in the iPad Mini as well. So we could be getting some pretty cool iPad updates this year. I actually still get excited about iPads. I know they're not super sexy like new Macs, but the iPad is something I buy every couple years.
Yeah.
And maybe every 2 or 3 years. It is one of those devices that you hold on to for a much longer time.
Yeah, I know people still using their original iPad.
Damn! My mom wanted me to buy her an iPad too.
Uh huh.
Like a second iPad, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I'm not buying that for you. And she's like, I really liked that one. That one was, it worked really well. And I was like, no, I'm not buying that for you. Forget it. They all work really well. The iPad Air, which is what I got her. I'm like, this works really well. You don't need to have an iPad 2. I don't even know if you could buy those anymore. Can you?
Maybe I doubt off eBay.
Yeah, probably. Dude, off like, eBay.
The first iPad, I mean, it was cool, but you look at it now because I have a friend that still uses it, and it's just so thick and huge. And I'm like, man, I can't believe we thought this was really amazing. It kind of like
because they're so thin now. Even though I keep mine in a big, ugly, fat case. Yeah. All right. Well, before we move on, I want to say thank you to FreshBooks for supporting this episode. Y'all have heard us talk about FreshBooks before. FreshBooks is the online invoicing software that makes it so easy to get paid fast. And it also allows you to accept credit cards from your clients. It makes you look super professional. And I use FreshBooks. Buster uses FreshBooks. Leander uses FreshBooks. I know so many different people that use FreshBooks because truly it's the easiest way to invoice your clients and get paid quickly. And it's not just sending invoices that makes your life easy. You can also track all of your expenses in FreshBooks. So you can at any time go in there and see a report of how much money you have coming in, how much money you have going out, how much money you've made from day to day, from week to week, from month to month. I mean, these are all things that you absolutely need to be able to see quickly when you're operating a business. And one of the slick features that I really love, and one of the ones I use all the time, is the FreshBooks iPhone app, which is universal, so works on the iPad as well. Very, very well designed, as is the FreshBooks site that you use on your computer. But it allows you to do some really cool things, such as if you are out and about and let's say you have to buy something for a client, let's say you have to buy like a CPU, you're building someone a computer or something, you can actually take a picture of the item, take a picture of the receipt, and attach those pictures to an invoice for your client. So the next time you bill them, they can say, Erfan charged me X amount of dollars for this CPU. Normally he rips me off, but here's the receipt, and I can see he's actually being honest this time. And so you'll get paid for those items faster, and you don't have to keep track of your paper receipts because you always have a digital copy. FreshBooks will make your life so much easier, especially when it comes time to do your taxes, because you can send your accountant a report of everything that's happened. And you won't have to mess around at tax time gathering all your paperwork and spending your lifetime sifting through shoeboxes full of receipts, which makes everyone gassy, and no one likes to do that. And you don't want to be gassy, especially not at tax time. Just check out freshbooks.com/cultcast for a free 30-day trial. And I just couldn't recommend FreshBooks any more highly. I think their service is absolutely fantastic. I pay for it every month. That's how much I like it. FreshBooks.com/cultcast. I want to thank FreshBooks for supporting this episode. Alrighty, Bustier, Let's wrap up with an all-new Get to Know Your Cultist. This is a segment where people ask us questions, oftentimes about ourselves, that they want us to answer. Although this time we kind of have this one, this round we kind of have a mixed bag. And so we got a ton of good questions. I put a bunch in here. I was trying to get as many people in as I could. So let's just run through these, shall we? First question comes from Norman Wenth. He says, I'd like to know why Airfun and Buster don't listen to Leander's movie criticism more seriously. Every time I know what he is talking about, and about half the time, he's exactly right. Well, Norman, you're exactly wrong. Leander's movie criticism is awful. He doesn't like any movies, does he, Buster?
Dude, nothing that is going to be vaguely likable to you, exactly. An average American. You know,
anything that's universally loved, Leander despises.
He likes the most obscure British 70s and 80s movies I've ever heard of. You know, just stuff that I've never heard of. And he's, oh, it's awesome. Yeah. And then, you know, did you like Inception? I hated it.
Tom Hanks, I hate that guy. I mean, he hates people that everyone else loves. So,
you're like, what? You don't like Leo? No.
No. No, and he's so disgusted that we would even ask him about that.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if Norman Wenth is British. Because maybe maybe he is. Norman, if you are, maybe that's why you and Leander have the same questionable taste in movies. Thank you for listening, Norman. Please don't stop. Eric Norris wants to know, what Apple Watch apps are you using, Buster?
None of them.
Dude, I don't use any Apple Watch apps. They're all terrible.
I use the exercise app, and I use the weather app sometimes to check the weather.
Uh-huh.
But that's it. Yeah, I've really, and you know what? To be honest, I've really stopped wearing my Apple Watch as
altogether.
Often. Mm-hmm. Not altogether, but I will if I go on a jog or you know a short hike just to see like how many calories I've burned and how long I've been working out for. But I don't really worry about wearing it during the day, like day to day. I just, it's just not as useful as it is inconvenient sometimes.
Yeah, the third party apps that I've used have just, they're never as convenient or as quick as the apps on my phone. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure this might all change once we hit fall and Apple starts letting people build a native apps onto the Apple Watch. But at this point, they're just too slow and cumbersome to actually use.
Oh, my gosh.
They're terrible.
You know, you load up an app. I feel like every app.
Yep.
And it just, you get that the rotating dial thing.
Yep.
Just spins and spins. The weather ant. And I'll be like, and I'll hold my wrists up for 10 seconds. And I can't hold this watch up any longer.
We've already established most people can't do that. Exactly. Exactly. It's like, if you're going to make me wait 30 seconds, I'm just going to get my phone out. Because my phone, the UI on the phone is much nicer. And the only advantage that the Apple Watch has over the apps on the iPhone is that they're supposed to be fast and highly accessible. And right now, they're just not at all. And so when that changes, maybe I'll start using more. But as you said, the only apps I actually use on my watch are the watch app and then the fitness app. And then that's it. Hopefully that changes. Enrique Alejandro Tiznado. I hope I did that name justice.
Enrique. Is an awesome last
name. That's great. Sounds like a whirlwind. This one is for Airfawn. Why so much hate on Alex Excelsior Heath? I'm team Alex. Dude, I can't stand that guy, Alex E. Heath. Oh my gosh, Buster.
He's just such a punk.
Oh gosh, he's such a punk.
He's got his fancy job at Business Insider.
Oh, don't even get me started on his job at Business Insider.
Apartment in New York City.
Fancy glasses that have like the cool rims.
And now he's engaged to be married.
Oh my gosh. Now he's getting engaged.
Just living
the life. I can't stand that guy. it's just envy is what it is. I just envy Alex so much. He only eats like the finest fried chicken from Cane's and I don't even have that here.
He eats Cane's with his bourbon from Kentucky.
Yeah, he wears the finest white suits. Oh my gosh. Can I be honest with you? If I was sitting in a room with Hitler, Stalin, and Alex E. Heath, and I only had two bullets and one gun, I'd shoot Alex twice. Full disclosure, I stole that from The Office. I just stole that joke from The Office. That was classic The Office. Yeah. But But that one stuck with me. Gary Gibson wants to know, with all the new and shiny Windows 10, or with the new shiny Windows 10 OS and with Cortana, is Mac OS 10 and Siri starting to look a little tired? What do you think, Buster?
I haven't even looked at Windows 10 and Cortana, so that's how tired it's looking to me.
So I'm actually, for the first time in a long time, somewhat excited about a Windows update. This Windows 10 update looks to be very cool. It's looking to be much more polished because, you know, Windows 8 was such a massive disaster. People really despised that Metro UI, and then Windows 8.1 fixed a lot of that stuff. And I actually kind of like Windows. The new Windows 8.1 update, well, it's not new anymore, was actually not bad. And Windows 10 brings along some polish. It brings along some cool features, which I haven't tested yet, but I hope work well, such as being able to play your Xbox games on any Windows 10 device, so you could stream them across like the room. So it basically turns any device into like a second screen. That's pretty cool. Back to Gary's question. I don't think it makes Mac OS 10 look tired. I freaking love Mac OS 10. It just keeps getting better. Now Siri, on the other hand, yeah. But you know what? Who knows if Cortana works any better? I haven't used Cortana. Have you?
No.
And for those that don't know, Cortana is Microsoft's Siri, and they launched it, I think, like a year or two ago. And I haven't used it, so I don't know how well it works. But I seriously doubt it works any, or at least significantly better than Siri. Speaking of Siri, Buster, you know what I found that actually does work awesome on the Apple Watch?
Siri?
Well, not particularly.
Oh, okay.
But I was driving the other day and listening to music in my car, and you know, browsing music on Apple Music when you're driving is like a big no-no, and plus it's kind of hard to do. And so I just activated Siri on my Apple Watch and asked Siri to load up a different artist, and I think I was like Van Morrison or something, and it actually went and grabbed a Van Morrison album and loaded it up right there and started playing it. That was actually pretty cool.
Nice.
So that is one of the useful things. I think controlling your iPhone from your Apple Watch is probably one of the most useful features right now. Mm-hmm. Daniel J. Margrave wants to know, hi Irfan, I have a question. I don't think it's been asked. What Apple keynote would you attend and why? Oh, this is a good question. Buster, if you could attend any Apple keynotes in history's past, which one would you go to?
Well, I guess you'd have to say the original iPhone, or I guess maybe the Macintosh keynote back in the 80s.
Those are the exact two, cool. I was thinking, yeah. So if you had to choose one of the two, which one would you go to? You got a time machine, but it's only got fuel for one. Where are you headed?
Macintosh keynote.
Okay, I'm going with you.
All right. I love the clothes. I love the old Steve Jobs.
Oh, dude, you can wear the freaking 80s clothes. It looks so, like, skinny ties and the big oversized sport coats.
Yeah.
We're going to be two ballerinest people there.
And we'll be from the future, so we can tell them all how, like, oh, this is going to be cool. We can invent Uber before they got Uber.
Dude, this is great. We can just stay there and invent all the things that we know are going to be popular.
Let's just take over Apple, because we're going to know the products that are going to come
exactly.
out.
Exactly.
We're going to be the Johnny and Steve instead.
That's right. We're going to get Steve kicked out because our product ideas are going to be amazing. This guy just came up with this product called the iPhone. I think it's going to be a big deal. Okay. Daniel Rogers wants to know, we're going to have to answer this question on Leander's behalf. What are the things Leander misses most about England, if anything? He makes some suggestions. Pubs, definitely. Tea, absolutely. Classic TV shows. I couldn't tell you if he's missing any of those. Food, fish and chips, definitely. Pie and mash, absolutely. Sausages and mash, absolutely. What other things do you think Leander's missing?
Getting into brawls after soccer games.
Yeah,
just
right
at the bar with his Stella Artois.
What you guys don't know about Leander Caney is Stella Artois is like, it's like fight juice to Leander. As soon as he's had one, like, he starts unbuttoning his shirt a little bit, you know, his face starts getting all red, and by the end of Stella Artois number two, he's just ready for fisticuffs, and his face is plastered in many of the bars in London. as, and it just has a circle around it with an X going through it, because he just starts too many bar fights. They can't let him in. He fights with everyone. He keeps a pair of brass knuckles on his person at all times. And he'll knock your front teeth out if you look at him the wrong way. I mean, he seems all like jolly and pleasant on the show, but believe me, as soon as he has a few beers, he goes grabbing for body parts. Remember that, Buster?
Yes, he does.
You don't believe us. Not in a good way. Not in a good way. We got to tell this story now, since most people probably don't know it. And I apologize if this offends anyone. We were at CES, and Leander was probably, I don't even know what he was drinking. It was like bright green, and he probably had about 10 of them. Because, you know, Leander goes to these things, free drinks.
He downs like 10 drinks, and normally like two would make me, you know, loopy.
Yeah.
And for Leander, it's just like, oh, yeah, another.
He's not even, he doesn't even notice until he's gotten to 10. And I think wasn't like Gallagher's brother there, the guy who smashes watermelons with a big hammer, like his brother was there. And so Leander was all excited about that. So Leander has all these drinks, and me and Buster are approaching him. We're like, hey, Leander, what's up? Like, you put your hand out to like shake his hand. And his hand starts going for mine, and it starts dropping precipitously. And it goes right for my junk, and he just squeezes it with all his might. And I was standing there, slightly in pain, slightly in shock. And then didn't he also go for your junk as well? He just gave it a good squeeze?
Yeah, it was weird.
It's very strange. And I was like, this is Leander when he's had a few ales. This is the mood he's in. He's not sure if he wants to attack you or give you affection.
Give you a little pat down. Oh, your boy's still good?
Right. Is that a British thing? For any of our British listeners, you got to let us know. Is that a British thing?
That's like holding hands in Asia, you know?
Exactly. It's like some people just have different kinds of greetings, you know? And that's cool. I'm not judging. If you want to hold hands with the male, if you want to grab his drunk when you've had a few drinks, that's fine with me. I would prefer if we had we had some kind of rapport built first. Please just don't come up to me in a bar and do that. So please, our British listeners, you got to let me know on Twitter. Is that something everyone does, or is that just El Caney? I need to know, because I think he said it was something that British people do. And I'll be honest, I don't know if I believe him. I don't know if I believe him.
We do it all the time in Britain. Yeah. That's cool.
I'm like, yeah. And ever since then, he keeps doing it, and he's not even drunk anymore. And I'm like, this is just getting weird. He's getting all weird about it now. Okay, let's see here. Good question from Daniel Rogers. Chris Rowe wants to know, if you were the boss at Apple, what new product would you have the team working on? Buster, what do you think?
Time machine.
I was actually thinking the same thing.
We could go back and vet all the cool Apple products.
But if you had to choose a second one, because I think that one, they may not have the R&D dollars for that
one. You don't think they got that?
Well, actually, I take that back. They probably do. Tim Cook is going back in time and consulting with Steve Jobs on future projects.
Hoverboard. Only a real hoverboard, not that weak shit that Lexus came out with.
You know, I heard a little bit about that hoverboard that Lexus came out with. Was that a joke, or was that like an actual product?
It was. I mean, the only way you could make the hoverboard work was you have to be at a certain skate park where there's just magnets implanted throughout it, and it's
okay.
So yeah, you couldn't use it like on the street and just go, you know.
Okay, you go nowhere. So does this not sound like a super dangerous product? Like a hoverboard. It has no wheels to keep you attached to the ground. It seems like you'd be able to like flip forward or flip backward really easily.
Yeah.
Like it's one of those cool products that looks, or one of those products that looks cool in movies, but
it'd probably hurt you.
You'd probably die screaming on it, yeah.
That'd still be cool. Well, I don't want to die, so that's fine. Yeah, maybe not.
I'm going to go with something I know they're probably working on, the Apple car. I really want Apple to release an electric car. I love electric cars. All the ones I've driven have been really fun. And I think that the idea of having a car you don't have to put gas in is really exciting. And plus, electric cars are incredibly peppy. That's a terrible word to describe a fun car. But when you hit the gas, that's a bad word to use. When you hit the accelerator, those things launch. They're like rockets. And all the electric cars I've driven, actually, I take that back, with exception of the Nissan Leaf, which is super sluggish, have been really fun to drive. And I would love to see Apple design a really beautiful, you know, Apple design car. And it would look just like an iPhone. It would have all the coolest Apple integrations. And I really hope they're gonna release a car in the future, because I do think that the world would be a better place if Apple got into the car game and released a car. You with me on that one, Buster?
Yeah.
Count the car for sure. Okay. Let's go ahead and wrap up with this game. This is good, or with this question. This is good that Leander's not here because he hates talking about video games. Matthew Miller wants to know, I know Leander probably doesn't play video games. He doesn't. But what video games are you guys obsessed with lately? Could be PC or console. Well, he says not mobile, but Buster, I'm going to guess that your favorite games are on mobile right now. So we're going to go ahead and open it up to mobile too.
Yeah, I don't even have a console.
Did you get rid of your console?
Yeah, I haven't had an Xbox for, I don't know, maybe 3 years.
Dude, what the heck? I thought you were playing Borderlands, or not Borderlands.
I did. I had Borderlands, Black Ops. And I had Call of Duty. Yeah, I had those.
And you got rid of it, huh?
Yeah, I got rid of it. It's just, that makes me sad. Such a time suck.
Dude, it is a time suck. But, you know, do what you love.
Yeah.
You mean farming for digital products in Borderlands 2, as I've been doing, is a waste of time?
I'm not going to say that you probably should be doing more productive things.
Yeah.
But, I sleep a lot. So.
Okay. You go on a lot of hikes, too, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. And in the scheme of life, how productive is a hike?
Well, it's kind of like earning like achievements, like Xbox achievements only in real life, and only I can see them.
Kind of. Yeah, exactly. And I don't care about Xbox achievements. I just play it to have fun. So to Matthew's question, my favorite game right now that I have been playing a ton of is, I'm an Xbox guy. I don't have a PlayStation, is Borderlands 2. They re-released it on Xbox One. They redid the graphics. It looks beautiful. I love that game. I love going around looting for stuff and getting new gear. And I have been playing that game way more than any grown man should be playing video games. Although, grown men playing video games isn't taboo anymore, is it? It's like...
No, it's so cool. Yeah, it's like so super cool. They got like... I mean, you can be a professional video gamer now.
Yeah, there's guys who... I heard that they have a college where you could, in Japan, where you could learn how to play League of Legends.
Yeah.
That'd be your full-time job.
Yeah.
And totally. You'd probably make great money if you're good at League of Legends. So there you go. How about mobile, Buster? Anything on mobile before we wrap up?
Dude, I've just still been playing Vainglory like crazy.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
You've been playing that game forever.
It's great, though. It's like League of Legends, only it's 3-on-3, and I think League of Legends is 5-on-5 or 6-on-6. I don't know. Oh, and you choose different heroes. They're always coming out with new heroes with different abilities, so you're learning different ways to play. And
I'm genuinely surprised to hear you say that. Wow, you've been playing that game forever.
Yeah,
I might have to jump in and play some of that with you.
Oh, dude,
can't you do co-op?
Oh yeah, BST3R. It's my in-game name.
Oh, you're gonna have so many friend requests now. Gonna be so popular. Yeah, I'm gonna have to check that out. I have been playing a game called Fallout Shelter, which I think I chose maybe on a previous Fave and Rave pick. It's made by Bethesda. It's a mobile game that's based upon the Fallout franchise, which I love the Fallout franchise. But I'll be honest, it's kind of getting a little dull. Like the gameplay at a certain point, once you reach a certain level, there's not really much that you're doing besides just sitting there watching everyone make resources, because it's like a resource game. So I'm looking for something new. So those are our picks. You know what, Buster? Before we wrap up, you had a good suggestion, and I think we should at least talk about it really quickly. And that is, you were mentioning we should probably talk about our favorite or our first computers that we've ever had.
Oh,
last
God.
Question. What was yours?
To? Yeah. Dude, I can't even remember, to be honest. There was probably some just...
Dude, it was your question.
I know, right?
You're like, I got nothing?
I mean, the first computer I ever bought myself...
Yeah. Okay, that works.
Was I think it was just the first... unibody MacBook. No, actually, no, I take that back. It was actually a Dell laptop that I bought like in high school. I can't remember
that. That was when Dell Dude was popular, wasn't
it? It was when Dell Dude was popular. Yeah, it was awesome. I thought it was like such a sweet laptop.
Yeah, dude, you were getting a Dell.
Yeah, I would just play video games on it 24/7.
My first computer was my parents bought this, and I think it was extremely expensive, probably $3,000 or $4,000. It was an Apple II GS. And I remember when my dad brought this thing home, I was so excited. It had a color screen and we could play video games on it. We had never had a Nintendo or Sega or anything. Actually, at that point, I don't even think these consoles were in the marketplace. I think the Apple II GS might have preceded all these things. And so we'd never played like video games at home before. This is like a totally new thing for us. And I had this game, I think it was Ninja Gaiden. It might have been like one of the first Ninja Gaidens they've ever made. And I played that game a ton, and then like Oregon Trail and all those games. And of course, like I could do my homework, I could do reports at home. So cool. I loved that computer, and we had it forever. And I think actually that was probably one of the only computers we had until I bought my own years later, which I don't remember what it was. But yeah, those are our home computer firsts. First home computers. Good suggestion, Buster.
Yes.
Way to come up with something on the fly there. Okay. Before our questions get any worse, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. Thank you so much to everyone who contributed your questions on facebook.com/thecultcast. We'll definitely do these again in the future. I love hearing everyone's contributions. I want to thank FreshBooks for supporting this episode. If you're ready to get your business running smoother, invoicing faster, tracking your expenses more easily, check out freshbooks.com/cultcast for a free 30-day trial. If you want to, Kim, say hi to me and Buster on Twitter and let us know if you get drunk and grab other people's sausages. That would be great. Buster's BST3R. I'm at Arifon. I need to know if anyone else out there is doing this. I seriously don't think so, dude. I think it's just the ender. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute album conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll grab your sausages next time. I wonder if he calls that. I wonder if he has a name for that maneuver.
Oh, he definitely does. It's probably like a London handshake or something like that.
The London banger. Yeah. Something like.
'Why, hello.
What's happening, Big Papa?
Not much, dude.
What are you doing?
What are you doing? I'm just
relaxing.
Finishing my burrito.
Yeah. Sitting here.
Sipping on some Diet Cola.
Diet Cola?
Yeah.
Trying to keep in shape?
Yeah, you know, so, yeah, I mean.
Your shape's already so good.
It's a shape. It's very shapely.
I mean, it's like very angled. You look like a brand new Cadillac.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chiseled.
I don't know.
Is that your secret sauce? Is just the Diet Cola?
Diet Cola and burritos. That's the diet.
That's the Buster diet?
Yeah. Low carb tortillas, though. You know?
That's the secret.
Don't carb up too much.
Yeah, I'm going to start trying that out because, I mean, I've seen you with your shirt off and I was wondering what your secret sauce was.
The secret sauce to growing on my chest hair.
Yeah, exactly. Precisely. That's precisely what I mean.
I just lather hot sauce directly on the chest.
Wow, really?
Mm-hmm.
We don't have time to talk about this now. This is a story for another time. I'd like to hear how you stumbled across that secret.
Just a weird trip to Mexico with a lot of peyote.
I was thinking maybe you bit into a burrito and some sauce squirted out. You were eating shirtless, of course, as you often do. And it squirted on your chest. And within days, you noticed that place where it landed was just covered in thick, rich, illustrious chest hair.
Just the biggest growths you've ever seen.
Just tufts. I think tufts is the right word. Hair. You're just like Magnum PI times 10.